to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. I am excited to be here. My name is Zachary Smith. I am your host for all things NXT on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network here. Shout out to all my other fabulous co-hosts here on the network. Now, I am very excited for a few reasons this week. One, I got a good NXT show to talk about. I got a real good episode to talk about today. That always makes my job a little bit easier. We have some fun news to talk about, and also I have a strong main champion to talk about. Like, I am rarely envious of my co-hosts for the Raw show and SmackDown shows, but I am envious in one way, in that Raw has Bobby Lashley as WWE champion, somebody that I have been a fan of since I saw him break a cage onto Umaga in the early 2000s or mid-2000s. And he's been dominant, and he's got a hot feud with the up-and-comer Goldberg coming up at SummerSlam. You remember how we all wanted a Brock Lesnar? Well, here's a Goldberg. But even though I have a Goldberg, and I would like to return this Goldberg for store credit and put it towards the purchase of a Brock Lesnar, please, we still got Bobby Lashley. Booked very strong, very good champion. I love to see it. I sincerely do. On SmackDown, you have an even better gig because you have Roman Reigns, somebody who's always been talented enough to be the guy on a show, but was never as good of a character, and they refused to turn him into a bad guy for some reason, because it worked with John Cena eventually, so let's do it again. But now he's the tribal chief. He's with Paul Heyman and the Usos, and nothing can go wrong as long as the Usos aren't driving. And it's fantastic, and you have a strongly booked and presented champion. Now, most days on the NXT show, I have probably more enjoyable and different wrestling, and I have the show that is the one that I would want to be talking about if I had my choice of any show. However, when it comes to the champion department, I'm not as strong, because my champion's name is Karrion Kross. Now, you'll remember Karrion Kross as the guy that debuted as like a cryptic character, and at first, Scarlett only basically cut promos for him, and it kind of always looked like Scarlett was going to be in a feud with somebody. And then he was a monster that was also a bad guy, so he was a little bit of a chicken bleep heel, which goes really good with a monster. And then eventually, little by little, we started putting him in feuds that benefited him, had him talk more. He won the NXT title from Keith Lee, got hurt, had to relinquish it, won it back. Two-time NXT champion, dominant. Because when you have a monster, they kind of have to be dominant until somebody takes him down. Roman Reigns is also kind of a monster. He's just not kind of portrayed as one, but you have to feed people to him. So far, that's been going good, until we get to Johnny Gargano, who challenges him basically on the entire basis of, you're not a very good wrestler, which is a really interesting way to present your wrestling champion, right? Then my champion makes his way to Raw last week. Awesome. I remember when Kevin Owens did that. Remember when Kevin Owens went in there, beat up John Cena, stepped on the United States title, and raised the NXT title? That sure was cool, huh? Wonder what Karrion Kross will do. Well, first he's going to face Dolph Ziggler, because when you need a main event match to feel important, you need to call Dolph Ziggler. The man that they have never taken seriously for even a moment. And then this week, oh, this week, he comes back to Raw. And he's going to be facing Jeff Hardy. Cool. I've never been a Jeff Hardy guy. Respect everything he's done. Never been really my cup of tea personally. So he'll beat up Jeff Hardy. And he'll be introduced to a main roster audience that doesn't necessarily cross over with NXT. And will hit the ground running. Cool. What actually happened to my champion is that he came out, made an entrance without the smoke, without Scarlet, without all the stuff that makes him look like a monster, and just look like a bald dude. And then what happened to my champion is my champion lost to Jeff Hardy in like a couple minutes. The Jeff Hardy who hasn't beaten anybody lately. Had to put his feet on the ropes, so kind of cheat to win. So at least there's that. A lot of people upset about this. Makes a lot of sense. Kind of makes the NXT champion look weak. And there's only a few reasons you would do that. One, because you're mad at NXT for not beating AEW and not having as good of a rating. Which, a really good way to do that is not to sit down with Hunter and the people behind NXT. It's to embarrass the main champion on the show. That will help. Makes the NXT champion look weak. Kind of carried over into this NXT show. They did everything they could to ignore it and just present him as a monster, and it didn't come across because I just saw him lose to Jeff Hardy. You could also not really care about NXT and therefore not the NXT champion, and so you're just going to have him lose. Or you're bringing him to the main roster, he's going to destroy Jeff Hardy soon, and that's how you're introducing him. Now, whatever your reason was for it, except for that last one, that was dumb. And the reason I don't think it's all that last one, even though that is the story they will tell and laugh at us marks for buying into it, is that I do not trust this company to book one show ahead, much less from now to SummerSlam, where they might have a match, or even to the next Raw. So I don't know why I would have any faith whatsoever that Karrion Kross is going to be special, because this is what they've done with him so far. Listen, was I upset to see it? Sure. When I see my champion on Raw, it's a little bit of like a, it's a little bit of an invasion. I'm coming under Raw's turf. We're going to start some trouble. And then this happens, and then anybody who was on the fence about watching NXT is definitely not going to, because the next time you see Karrion Kross, he's probably going to be on Raw and not on NXT and not the NXT champion. So the last memory you have of the NXT title is that dude that lost to Jeff Hardy, but he has his old theme, so it's fine. Upset, yes. Surprised, no. They've never taken NXT seriously. And so this is what they do. It's their fun little game that they play, playing with people's livelihoods and time, and I think it was Cross's birthday, and what a birthday present. And eventually he'll make it on Raw, and they'll say, oh, this was the plan the whole time, you marks. This is why we know what we're doing. And it's just not, because every week they prove to us they aren't those people. Sometimes they luck into good stuff. So that's the news, isn't it? Also, now that I've gone on that entire rant, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Talking wrestling, other fun stuff over there. I'm also the host of the podcast called Random Wrestling. You can find that podcast anywhere you find this one. That's where I take a random numbered pay-per-view and a random year for that pay-per-view, talk about it. We've talked about Hell in a Cell 2019. That's The Fiend and Seth Rollins. We've talked about Capital Punishment 2011, that's R-Truth and John Cena, and we've talked about ECW's December to Dismember, which is its own thing. A new episode will be up this week, so be on the lookout for that. If you could subscribe to that one, it would mean a lot. As far as NXT this week goes, we have a recap of Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross thus far, a reminder that he can't lay a hand on anyone as long as he's not provoked. So it's clear at this point we're going to try and just ignore the stuff that happened on Raw. That's a fantastic idea. Cross choked out Joe at the end of last week when Joe was a special guest referee. I'm very excited to see Angry Samoa Joe. Haven't seen that in a while. Please never forget that on his best day with promos, you would not be able to out-promo him. I don't care if it's Paul Heyman. I don't care who it is. Samoa Joe on a good night is one of, if not the best promos in WWE in wrestling, period. So we're starting with Samoa Joe, as we should. He's dressed in just a black shirt and I think black jeans. This is where they tell us that Xia Li and Raquel Gonzalez for the women's title is actually tonight, and it's the main event. That should be a fun match. Joe looks mad. Gets in the ring, says, "Tick-tock, tick-tock, guess who's come to smash your clock?" That's a weird line that they had him say. Regal comes out instead. This is not what I wanted or had in mind, is what he says. So he said, "When you came back, you knew exactly what I had in mind. You can't be out here calling out superstars." He says, "Incorrect, Regal, I can, because the agreement was if I was provoked, and consider me provoked." Regal says, "I understand, but last week you entered the ring in a referee capacity." Karrion Kross attacks Samoa Joe, the referee. That's an interesting line, because some people's line of thinking on this is that you want to keep Karrion Kross strong, but somehow get the title off of him, since clearly they have such big plans for him on Raw. Stripping him of the title because he attacked a referee would be one way to do that. I would have thought that they would have done that now if they were going to do it. But it is interesting that Regal made it a point to say that he attacks Samoa Joe in a referee capacity. Samoa Joe says, "Kross is out of control. He needs to be put down." He said, "You have no control over it. Did you know about his little field trip to Raw last week?" I mean, you knew Samoa Joe was going to mention it, and it's smart to say last week and not this week. Last week didn't happen. He says, "I am here to put him under control." Regal says, "Just so we understand each other, Kross is on his way here, and when he gets here, all hell will not break loose. You will solve this problem peacefully. Do you understand each other?" Joe says, "Because of my respect for you, I can guarantee tonight will be the end of this, but I can't guarantee it will end peacefully, and someone tonight is going to sleep." Samoa Joe is so great. I hope he's been cleared to compete. Seems like you wouldn't go this far down the line if he wasn't. I just am so ready to see Samoa Joe, the wrestler. Samoa Joe's a fantastic commentator. Samoa Joe's a fantastic, I guess, assistant GM or security. Samoa Joe's a fantastic talker. You forget, Samoa Joe's also a fantastic professional wrestler. And there are injury concerns with him, but I feel good about him coming back into the ring if he is cleared, because one, he has a lot of great people to work with here on NXT, and he'll actually be taken seriously and not just like as a cool promo one week. And he can have fantastic matches with new people. So if he is cleared, we can go on this run, and whether he wants to continue elsewhere or if he's injured again, he's able to be a commentator or a general manager if Regal ever steps down. There's a lot of things you can do with him. I'm excited. Video of Xia Li says she's been waiting for this moment. She will be the new women's champion. She plans on doing the same to Raquel as she did to Mercedes Martinez. I believe she got injured in a match with her. She says she's going to be the first Chinese women's champion in NXT. She looks ready. You could make a new star tonight if you do it right. This is future Zach now. They didn't really. Kind of just setting stuff up for Raquel. Xia Li didn't feel like anything more important coming out of this match, but, you know, they had a chance. At this point I wrote, "Oh good, Diamond Mine's here, that's good." It's a tag match, it's Roderick Strong and Tyler Rust. They are attacked by Bobby Fish and Kushida, their opponents tonight. They're attacked during their entrance. At this point I realized, boy, they really like Adam Cole and really like Kyle O'Reilly and really don't feel the same about those other two members of Undisputed Era, because Bobby Fish is just kind of wandering around doing whatever, and Roderick Strong has Diamond Mine, nailed it, which seems like it would be a thing, and it's one of those things where they just put a group together and I don't think had real long-term plans for them, so now they're just kind of around. Listen, a lot of factions produce one star, like Nation of Domination produced The Rock. Some groups can have two, DX, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. The New Day produced, so far, at least one, probably two, with Kofi and Big E, even though they were already stars, but you get what I mean. And Xavier Woods could do that if they let him. The Shield produced three, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, now Jon Moxley, and Roman Reigns. Evolution produced Batista and Randy Orton. So, factions can do this. Factions can produce an entire faction's worth of stars, but not every faction does. And it's clear at this point that the two stars were Adam Cole is one, and Kyle O'Reilly's a little bit of a distant two. And that makes sense. Adam Cole's the most superstar of the members. Kyle O'Reilly, I guess, is down near him. I would argue he's closer to Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish than he is to Adam Cole, but he's proven himself to be able to hang at least match-wise in a lot of these. And they just do not have those same plans for Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. I don't know what they're going to do with them going forward, but boy, oh boy. They have a short match and Tyler Rust taps out to the hoverboard lock from Kushida. So, can we be done with Diamond Mine, or are we going to keep going? Beth Phoenix says Diamond Mine has to go back to the drawing board. Now, I could have sworn they just showed up, which would indicate their drawings and boards suck and they should get new ones. So that's it for that. LA Knight and Cameron Grimes arriving. Cameron Grimes is driving, and Grimes did not follow the GPS, so it took longer. I love that little detail of they're late to the show, and they didn't need to cover it, but they covered it by LA Knight saying, "We could have gotten here faster if you had not just followed the GPS." He's still acting very happy to be here, and that's bothering LA Knight a lot. So LA Knight opens the trunk, tells Grimes to get his bags, and the joke here is that LA Knight has a lot of bags. He has like five or six suitcases. It is very funny, though, because they wanted to be nice to Cameron Grimes, and they didn't fill at least one or two of those suitcases, so he's just like lifting up empty suitcases, which was just a funny little thing. As he's loading up, Drake Maverick is walking up, and Drake Maverick says that he'll help Cameron Grimes with some of this. Grabs one of the bags. LA Knight grabs it, throws it, kind of pushes it onto Cameron Grimes, who's trying to balance it. And LA Knight basically tells him to get lost. Cameron Grimes also says, "Nah, man, you're good. I got it. I got myself into this thing. Don't even worry about it." So he's trying to kind of protect Drake Maverick. Drake says, I'm not going anywhere. It sounds like he might need some help. And so LA Knight challenges Maverick to a match tonight. Maverick accepts. That'll be really fun. I love everything about that segment we just saw. This is also the first time Cameron Grimes has really looked bothered since becoming the butler. Now, I think what's happening is that he's acting very happy to be here to annoy LA Knight. If the point of this is to build sympathy for Cameron Grimes and eventually lead to him breaking off, we haven't gotten there yet because it's not necessarily a sympathetic story yet, because he's strategically acting like he's happy about it, but that also indicates to the audience that he's not miserable. But Maverick being in trouble in his eyes bothers Cameron Grimes. So this bothers him. I like that. Kyle O'Reilly's making his entrance for a match. He's facing Austin Theory tonight. Now, it's very easy to forget that Austin Theory is fantastic in the ring. He's funny with The Way, the Gargano family, but he doesn't get showcased a lot as a fantastic talent. He gets showcased, he gets to show comedy chops, which are unfortunately important in WWE. He gets more screen time than he would have otherwise, and he does end up in a lot of matches, if only to be the guy that gets pinned. But it is easy in all that to forget that he's really good. He kind of came in with this gimmick of he was losing and it kind of lost his way. Get it? That's why the group's called that. But then he joins kind of initially as Johnny Gargano's like student. And that's where I thought the story was going. And then Candace kind of gets indie and they become the way and they become a lot more comedy than I think I thought that they would when they were forming. So he's gotten really good opportunities to get on TV, which is obviously very, very important to get those chops in. But again, easy to forget that Austin Theory just on his own, like with a good story, could absolutely be one of the guys, I think, in NXT. And based on what happens later, maybe we're getting close to that. Kyle O'Reilly ends up winning with the knee lock. It was a longer match than I thought it would be. It's really good. Again, Theory's really good. Kyle O'Reilly was way more aggressive. He beats the hell out of Theory. He kicks and punches him like real stiff looking a bunch of times before he goes up and drops the knee from the top rope on the back of Theory's leg and then locks in the knee lock. Theory fights for a second, taps out, but Kyle O'Reilly doesn't release the hold for a long couple seconds there. So we're kind of heading towards maybe a Kyle O'Reilly's obsessed with beating Adam Cole and is kind of going back to what he used to be like to do that. He indicated that in his promo last week. I don't think good guy Kyle O'Reilly has been working as well. I think that Kyle O'Reilly naturally is not a guy that's going to blow you away with a promo, which is 100% fine. But I think you can help that somewhat if you give him a story and a character that maybe doesn't talk as much. Somebody that's obsessed with beating Adam Cole can just yell and scream and be physical, which Kyle O'Reilly's fantastic at, playing to his strengths, but probably isn't going to be cutting like 20-minute promos, which is where the Kyle O'Reilly-Adam Cole thing lost me, because Adam Cole is just such a better promo than a lot of people, but Kyle O'Reilly. So I like what they're doing. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai are backstage. Raquel says everyone's been saying they're going to do the same thing and win the title, and nobody has. Raquel says she's not scared of anything that Xia Li's bringing. Not scared of her kicks or her bodyguard or the person that sits in the chair. So once she wins, there will be nobody left. And there it is. Now, for weeks, I've been telling you that this story eventually with Raquel and Dakota ends with Dakota being jealous that Raquel is the women's champion, something that Dakota Kai has never been, and is getting all the attention. And when people come into the ring, Dakota goes to step to them, and they walk right by her like she's nothing. Now, I trust NXT way more than I trust the main roster, specifically Vince and like Bruce Pritchard and blah, blah, blah. If this were the main roster, I would have no faith whatsoever that there was ever going to be a payoff, because it's NXT. We pay more attention to detail. We care about this stuff. Dakota Kai's been a loser, like, in the story. But the point is, she's going to get fed up with it. And eventually, her anger is going to overwhelm her sense of friendship with Raquel Gonzalez. The thing happens here is that Raquel says once she beats Xia Li, nobody will be left. After she says nobody will be left, Dakota Kai, who's standing next to her, gives her a side eye for just a moment. Looks at her, looks at the title. Raquel goes to walk away. She snaps out of it. But for that second, she reacted to the there will be nobody left. So we're planting seeds already. NXT loves to do that. The first time I remember it, I'm sure it's not the first time, but when Finn Balor and Samoa Joe won the Dusty Classic and Samoa Joe was around Finn Balor a lot, you caught a split second of Samoa Joe, like, during celebrations looking at that title. And it led to Samoa Joe becoming obsessed with that title, eventually winning it. Here, I'm always looking for that with champions. When somebody's cutting a promo against somebody else in the ring, I look at the person that's not talking, because really good wrestlers and characters can tell stories without saying anything. And Dakota Kai is probably underutilized for her skill level, but she can tell a story without talking because she told me everything I needed to know about why we've been booking her this way for some time now. Whatever ends up happening, and however fast it ends up happening, I'm excited to see Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez. I don't think Dakota's going to take the title from her, but I think that's an interesting pairing, and I feel like we need to get Raquel away from the Diesel to Dakota Shawn Michaels bodyguard thing, because there are legitimately days of the show where I forget she's the women's champion. She's wearing the title, but she's still the bodyguard. She's not even the main person in her own group yet. So we planted the seeds. We go from that backstage to Candace, Indy, Johnny, and Austin Theory, The Way, talking about basically how bad they've been. They lost the tag titles. Austin Theory keeps picking fights with people he can't beat. Indy says to lay off Austin Theory. She does say that if he wants to kiss Dexter Lumis, let him kiss Dexter Lumis. Cuts over to Johnny and Theory going, what? Candace says she's going to call a therapist because Indy's projecting. It is my obligation to remind you this Indy Dexter Lumis story is gross and I hate it. It's like the opposite of a healthy relationship, and I understand it's a story, but it's a creepy one, and I wish they wouldn't do the Indy's in love with the dude that stalked her for a while story. That's just uncomfy. So they all start arguing. Candace, Johnny, and Indy do. They're talking at the same time, back and forth. Now they're not looking at Theory. Theory picks up his like vest that's hanging up and picks up his bag and starts to walk, and he says, this family's falling apart. And they keep arguing. And they're not acknowledging him. He goes to do the high five thing that he always does with Johnny, but Johnny doesn't do it as he's still arguing. And Theory just slowly walks away, shaking his head as they keep arguing and don't even notice. That's interesting. Like I said, Austin Theory's gotten a lot of good TV time and experience in The Way, but I don't know that he's going to grow very much as just a member of The Way. And if this was Austin Theory walking away from the Gargano family, I love that. Because Austin Theory has the potential to be one of the guys here in NXT just based on his talent level. But I did not think he was going to do it while he was in a group with Johnny Gargano. If this is the end of The Way, or at least Austin Theory in The Way, I love how they did it. It wasn't the classic, like, Austin Theory's frustrated, he turns on Johnny, and blah, blah, blah. You kept everybody as a bad guy, except Austin Theory, maybe. He walked away slowly, and he was sad about it. He wasn't mad at anybody. He was clearly sad and affected. I liked that a lot. Joe and Regal are backstage. Regal says that Cross will be here tonight, but please calm down. Joe says, I respect you, Regal, but know that I'm going to be the first man to greet Cross when he gets here tonight. Regal asks that it just be peacefully. It's not gonna be. Back to the ring. Andre Chase is out for the first round breakout tournament match. Andre Chase is an interesting looking dude, and his theme's real boring. He's wearing like wrestling gear, and he's wearing a vest that is sleeveless but also has a collar, which is I haven't seen a lot of, I have to say. His opponent is Odyssey Jones. Odyssey Jones has better theme music. Odyssey Jones, I'm going to say it a lot, and I am going to say the first and last name every time. Odyssey Jones is a big man. That's a really cool name. They say he weighs 405 pounds. He's a big boy. I want Odyssey Jones to be my friend. I want to go around and, like, solve mysteries together. They say he's a former Syracuse offensive guard. He's only 27 years old. He looks like an offensive guard. He's real fast for a big dude. Does like a tumble to run back into the corner. Kind of sort of moves like Keith Lee a little bit. Still very green and like new, but didn't feel out of place at all. Hits kind of a delayed side slam, and Odyssey Jones wins. They are both very talented. Odyssey Jones might be the guy here, man. Odyssey Jones feels really charismatic. I didn't get to hear him cut a promo, so I don't know how he is at that. But if he's a good promo and he can kind of learn on the fly here, he was able to do plenty to have a really good match. I think Odyssey Jones might be the guy, man. So they clearly like him a lot. Props to Andre Chase for helping him through the match and doing an excellent job. But Odyssey Jones has it, man. And I can't wait to keep saying Odyssey Jones a bunch, because say it out loud to yourself right now if you're not going to be in a place that makes you look crazy. Go ahead, real quick. Say Odyssey Jones. How cool did that feel to say it, right? Exactly. LA Knight is out with Cameron Grimes, who's still acting very excited. Knight makes Grimes back up and follow him from a distance. Everyone's cheering for Cameron Grimes and don't like LA Knight. LA Knight's mad about that. Drake Maverick is already in the ring. Hey, remember when Drake Maverick got fired, then made a video where he's very emotional, then got rehired, then was a big deal, but then didn't win the Cruiserweight title because Santos Escobar did, and then pivoted effortlessly from that to having a really, really fun and interesting fish out of water kind of tag team with Killian Dane and making something out of nothing. And then what they did is released his tag team partner for no reason because they couldn't come up with ideas for him, so that's his fault. That was all cool, huh? I say that to say Drake Maverick didn't even have an entrance, so that's cool. LA Knight is making Cameron Grimes at ringside hold up the $1 million title as high as he can. And as he's yelling at Cameron Grimes, Drake Maverick drop kicks LA Knight in the back. He runs into the $1 million title. And then Drake rolls him up and wins. That's a fun finish. That's a fun finish story-wise and match-wise. So Grimes is very excited, but Grimes tells Drake Maverick he needs to get out of there. And as he turns around, he's clotheslined, he's attacked by Knight. Knight tries to get Grimes to help him beat down Drake Maverick, but Grimes pulls LA Knight off of Maverick. There's a lot of names to do in every sentence here. Knight wants Grimes to hit Maverick. Grimes goes to get out of the ring and walk off, but Knight pulls him back into the ring. Grimes eventually obliges and hits Maverick in the face, but he's mad about it. Now, this is excellent. Now, and I wasn't impatient with it. I knew we were going to get to it, but for this to work, eventually Cameron Grimes has to be bothered by being a butler and not just faking like he loves it. This is the first time he was concerned, and the first time he almost came to blows with LA Knight. Now, this should keep going for a while. This shouldn't be like a quick turnaround, I don't think. But this was a really, really good step. And this was flawlessly done and told me everything I need to know and made me excited to eventually see Cameron Grimes turn on LA Knight, which is all I wanted from this. Car pulls up to the arena. Joe rips open the driver's side door, pulls out the driver. Driver very scaredly says that Cross is inside. He told him to pull up to the front, and he goes to run back inside. While that's happening, Xia Li is out for the main event. Here's the thing. Xia isn't going to win. She could have made a big step forward for herself with a good showing. Also, wouldn't have been shocked, surprised, very surprised, not shocked if she had won. Now again, future Zach, hi. She didn't win, and this was much more a tell an interesting story about Raquel than a tell an interesting story about both of them thing. So Xia Li wasn't helped a lot. Sometimes WWE has this theory that just being in a title match raises your profile, and that's not true. It's wins and losses and like putting up a good showing, and they will never admit that it's wins and losses that actually matter, even though it is, because that's the whole point. Otherwise, why do you have matches? So that didn't happen here with Xia Li. They have a pretty short match. Medical staff has taken a look at Xia Li, who's laid out near the edge of the ring. What happened was Raquel did like a cool twisting corkscrew, almost Vader bomb, and now Xia Li's laid out. The medical staff eventually say that Xia Li can continue. She walks right into that powerbomb chokeslam thing by Raquel, and Raquel wins. Raquel and Dakota Kai are standing at the entrance ramp. So at this point, I got nervous because there was only a couple minutes left in the show. Like, there's no way that's the last thing I'm going to see of Samoa Joe. And in fact, Samoa Joe walks past them. He's calling for Cross. He says, "Where, oh, where is my young champion, the man who refuses to learn? There will be a reckoning." Cross, however, is on video outside. He says, "This is my world now. This is not the NXT you left." He said, "I'm the way of the future. And this title means I can go wherever I want. I can go. I can do whatever I want. I can hurt anybody I want. For example," he pans down, and there's an unconscious William Regal at his feet, and Joe runs to the back. Before it cuts away, it goes to a regular camera shot and crosses, "Hey, Joe, do you still feel like you're in control? Who provoked who?" Joe runs out, yelling for Cross, but Cross is already in his car, and he drives away. Still no Scarlett. Don't know why he quoted Bane with the "Do you feel in charge?" This is the best that you can do with your NXT champion after he was made to look a fool literally a night before. You were never going to fix it in one night. It's going to take a lot to fix it. It's basically going to take time for us to forget about it. But this is the best job you could do. I didn't even consider him taking out William Regal as a way to extend this feud and to make Samoa Joe even more mad. And the more mad Samoa Joe is, the better. And make this more personal. So I loved this. It's a way to kind of kick it again to next week. I think there's a takeover August 22nd, I think I saw. That could very well be Cross Joe. That would be 1 month and 1 day from now. That's plenty of time to build this up, and I think you can keep them separated that long. I'm excited, and I want to hear what you thought about this show. What do you think of what they did to Karrion Kross? How do you think they can fix him? How excited are you to see Goldberg back? At least we know it'll be a good match, huh? At least we'll see a jackhammer, huh? Let me know on Twitter, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. As a means of a teaser, Goldberg is one of my least favorite wrestlers of all time. He is not my least favorite wrestler of all time. If you'd like to know who my least favorite is and hear me talk about him for probably, if we're honest with each other, longer than I needed to, go check out Random Wrestling, the last episode. I believe it's something like the worst pay-per-view WWE ever put out or something. Latest episode, it's December to Dismember, and I go on a long thing about my real least favorite wrestler. So, that's it for NXT. That means that's it for me. For right now, I just want to thank you very much for listening. I have been Zachary Smith. You, as always, have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.